Turn to Romans 6. I'm reading the chapter. Follow along with me. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. From henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it with the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield yourselves members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the main emphasis I'm looking at this, I see this as a sanctification chapter, our sanctification in Christ. Remember, he's setting the foundation in 3, 4, and 5, how we can do nothing. We're just poor, lost, none good, none righteous sinners. In 3, in 4, justification by faith. In 5, justified by faith. And, so work of God in us. So, hallelujah. And now 6, he's talking about how we died with Christ and how we're risen with Christ. Now, my thing is, if we don't preach the resurrection for salvation, and remember, this is the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, that Christ died according to the scriptures for our sins, that Christ was buried according to the scriptures for us, that Christ rose from the dead according to the scriptures for us. This is the gospel. And I think we've reduced the gospel to half of a gospel, that he just died for our sins, or died for our sin. And we just don't seem to, I hate to say it this way, make a big deal of the resurrection. And so in his sanctification, he's talking about the resurrection there. And have we really started in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ? And I don't know who else to live or have any power except by the resurrection of Christ. I don't know how to have the victory except through the risen Lord. So, 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. And it's a long chapter to read, but let's turn her anyway. 1 Corinthians 15. Because I'm talking about the foundation for salvation, and now he's bringing over the same foundation for sanctification. I'm probably just going to read 15 verses here. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I had preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose the third day, according to the Scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. At last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, and we are all found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, in verse 16, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. So my conclusion on that verse 17, especially, if you don't know that Christ is risen, you don't have that revelation, God hasn't given it to you, because it's a lot harder than the cross. Because remember, the cross, you can look at that and say, yeah, that happened, he was there. But in the resurrection, who saw that? And that resurrection is like just a supernatural event that's revealed in the Scriptures, and he showed himself alive to all these witnesses. And if you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't have resurrection faith, then your faith is in vain, and you're yet in your sins. And I know myself, by the grace of God, making Christ known here, there, and everywhere he allows me. If I don't preach the resurrection, I sometimes will even go back to that person and says, I'm sorry, I didn't mention to you that Christ is risen from the dead. And it just seems like that's the lost doctrine of our times. That and just think, this week, how much have you thought of the resurrected Christ? When you think of Christ and have union and communion with him according to the Scriptures, I know quite a bit my union and communion is with the resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ. Now, when I was a Catholic, the only communion I had was with the cross. Christ dying on the cross. And it's a Catholic, it's not clear whether he paid for a little bit of sins, some sins, most sins, but it was never preached he prayed for all sins, because that would eliminate the Catholic Church and the priesthood and their continuing sacrifice. And purgatory, too. It'll eliminate that. So, the resurrection, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, not only believe the resurrection, do we really know a resurrected Christ? I don't know where to get any other power to serve Christ and to live this life except from a resurrected Lord. And remember, when he's resurrected, he's Lord. He's not just the Savior, he's Lord. And us that make Christ known all the time, are we making him known in his Lordship, in his resurrection? He has all power and all authority in his resurrection. So I just see that as the lost part of the gospel in our country today, even amongst us Reforms. You know, when's the last time you heard a good sermon on the resurrected Christ? risen, resurrected life. Do you have it? And, you know, listen to the conference speakers and good sermons on the subjects, but don't hear much on the subject of a resurrected Christ around Easter. Yeah. And that's about the only time. I remember as a Catholic on Easter, they'd say, okay, Christ rose from the dead. Now let's get back to the Mass crucifying Christ again. And maybe the Reformed ain't far back there. Maybe the Catholics are winning them back. I don't know. I think the Catholics don't want us to preach the resurrection because that means the work's finished. The cross is acceptable. It's a done deal. So how's your faith in a resurrected Christ? And, you know, so he is risen. Okay, so back to Romans 6. Oh, back to Romans 6 then. In the resurrection here, I see for the sanctification. But if you don't lay that foundation, that what we talked about, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, this is the gospel, that he died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. And how many times do we mention the burial? There it is, right there. This is part of the gospel, the burial. Why is a burial big emphasis? Because Christ is dead. They only buried dead men. And he had to die. He wasn't in no swoon or, you know, in resuscitation or whatever. Nothing like that. It just proved he was dead. They buried him. And hallelujah, he rose from that grave 3 days later. I don't know what Christ you know, but I know that Christ. Because that's the one that saved me. The one suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross. Yeah, he's got the wounds as the resurrected. He did suffer, die, and bleed. But the one that saved me was the resurrected Lord. I don't know which one saved you. But so anyway, I'm ranting a little bit in the evangelism area that God's called me to. You know, just, man, keep that gospel pure. Keep Christ exalted. Man comes down, Christ comes up. All right, so a few things in light of sanctification in the resurrection on this chapter. So look in Romans 5, just before I get to verse 1 there, of 6:1, Romans 5, 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So verse 1, he's saying this to what we just read. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, the commentators I read on some of the Puritan, most of them said this is a spiritual baptism. This is something that has taken place in your heart where you know that Christ died for you and you died with Christ. Christ is risen and you're risen with him. This is a spiritual baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. And praise the Lord for the physical baptism, too, that shows a great picture of this. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Okay, so there's the sanctification part of it. Okay, we're buried with him unto death. We died to ourselves with Christ. But not only we're not left there, as like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. What's that newness of life? Resurrection life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall also be planted in the likeness of his resurrection. So, hallelujah, we walk in the newness of life. And planted together. I got a little Spurgeon thing from his morning and evening devotional in the next verse. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, from henceforth we shall not serve sin. henceforth we shall not serve sin. This is a May 30th morning and evening devotional by Charles Spurgeon. Christian, what hast thou to do with sin? Has it not cost thee enough already? Burnt child, wilt thou play with the fire? What? When thou hast already been between the jaws of the lion, wilt thou step a second time into his den? Hast thou not had enough of the old serpent? Did he not poison all the veins once? And wilt thou play upon the hole of the asp and put thy hand upon the cockatrice's den a second time? Oh, be not so mad, so foolish. Did sin ever yield thee real pleasure? Didst thou find solace, satisfaction in it? If so, go back to thine old drudgery and wear the chain again, if it delight thee. But inasmuch as sin did never give thee what it promised to bestow, but deluded thee with lies, be not a second time snared by the old fowler. Be free, and let the remembrance of thy ancient bondage forbid thee to enter the net again. It is contrary to the designs of eternal love, which all have an eye to thy purity and holiness. Therefore, run not counter to the purposes of the Lord. Another thought should restrain thee from sin. Christians can never sin cheaply. They pay a heavy price for iniquity. Transgression destroys peace of mind, obscures fellowship with Jesus Christ, hinders prayer, brings darkness over the soul. Therefore, be not the serf and the bondsman of sin. There is yet a higher argument. Each time you serve sin, you have crucified the Lord afresh and put him to an open shame. Can you bear that thought? Oh, if you have fallen into any special sin during this day, it may be my master has sent this admonition this evening to bring you back before you have backslidden very far. Turn thee to Jesus afresh. He has not forgotten his love to thee. His grace is still the same. With weeping and repentance, come thou to his footstool, and thou shalt be once more received into his heart. Thou shalt be set upon a rock again, and thy goings shall be established. And that's part of that Romans 6:6, there, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay, so remember, for if you have been planted together in verse 5 in the likeness of his death, have you died with Christ? We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Are you risen with Christ? Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, and that knowing there, I believe it's an epinosis, a knowing that's experimental, that you, it's not knowing about, you know it. Why? It's part of you. It's in your spirit. God's put it in your new man. And you know that knowing that being raised from the dead, Christ dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So just think about that. When was the last time you reckoned yourself dead with Christ? Reckon on it. I had a good definition of reckon. Reckon means to conclude, to count, to esteem, to reason, to impute, to number. When was the last time you counted yourself when you're fighting sin, dead unto sin? We should walk in that way all the time, dead unto sin, especially as we walk in the course of this world. I know sometimes I'll go to a mall to witness, and man, the advertising on the windows, it's one lust after another lust after another lust. And it's a lot of times it's women with half clothes on. And it's like, Lord, I can't continue here unless get my eyes somewhere else. Let me go into this store to talk to somebody. Usually that's what I'm doing in the mall. But man, I just got to count myself dead to them all the time. Dead. I'm a dead man walking. But hallelujah, I'm not dead. I'm alive in Christ. I'm risen with Christ. In Christ, you're able to do this through me. I'm looking to you. So let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. Man, that wicked nature, you know, that's what it's full of. That's what it is. But Christ. But the power of the resurrection. So neither yield your members, in verse 13, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are what? Alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There's the resurrection. You know, we're alive from the dead. Our members, these members of these bodies that God, you know, the devil tempts in our flesh, the one of sin, yield that to the Lord. Lord, you take the hands. You crucify these feet. You crucify these eyes, Lord. Not only that, I'm risen with you, Christ. So now I got new eyes to see spiritual things, to redeem the time because the days are evil, to know you, Christ, to make you known to a poor, lost, dying world that's going to hell that needs you, Christ. They need to know that you're risen from the dead. And Lord, send me, use me. You're risen. You have all power. So thank you, Lord. You're able to sanctify me. And he begun a good work in us. He'll see it to completion, too. Christ has made unto us not only justification, but he's made unto us sanctification, too. He's made everything to us. Okay? So, don't you know you not, that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked, in verse 17, that we were the servants of sin, but we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered to you. Now, from the heart, what doctrine? The death and resurrection of Christ. Our death with him, our resurrection with him, the old man, but now the new man. We're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who enables us, who empowers us, who gives us more grace to serve him more in the power of his resurrection. Who are principalities? Who are those powers? Who's the devil's powers compared to the risen, exalted King of Kings and Lord of Lords? All power in heaven and earth are given to Christ. When we go forth, we go in his name. And we've got to know his power. It's a resurrection power. And that's powerless until we realize we died with Christ, we're buried with Christ, we're risen with Christ. The resurrection. So I don't see any other way we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ except through the power of his resurrection. Oh, his cross, too. Of course, when we sin, we always go to the cross. We always go to the blood. And because that's the only place to get that. But where's the power come from? Well, the power doesn't come from us. It comes from him. It comes through us as we realize this resurrection more and more. Christ is risen. He has all power and authority over all things. Who can defeat his cause? Nobody. We're his servants. We've died with him. We're buried with him. We're risen with him. So, who were we? Look at verse 17. God be thanked, for you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. We're in Romans 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Not only through his cross we lose our sin, but the powers in the resurrection. Oh, that I may know Christ, in Philippians 3:10. That I may know him, that I may know the power of the resurrection. That's Philippians 3:10. Have you ever prayed that way, sought that in your heart? The power of Christ's resurrection? So we can be sanctified in this life, set apart, meet for the master's use. So he can use me more and more to love my enemies, to pray for those that despitefully use me, to those that curse you, to bless those that curse you. God's able to do all this. Why? He's risen from the dead. Christ is God risen. Did Mohammed rise? Did any of the popes rise? Did Confucius rise? Did any of these? And you know what? They might have died for their cause, too. And some of them will say, he died for my sins. Some of those people, I said, did he rise from the dead? What are they going to say to that? Only Christ. Christ is all alone in his resurrection. Many people died for causes. We know Christ died for sin. And they don't know that. They think their leader is adequate. Did he rise from the dead? And do we still fear death? Do we fear death? I remember being in one church, and I've been in quite a few churches. Somebody died, and they actually rejoiced. And that, I don't know how many times that's happened, where somebody died in the congregation, and one church rejoiced out of probably at least 15 I've been in over the years, that somebody died, and they announced it. And I was like, why isn't there no rejoicing when somebody dies? They're absent from the body and present with the Lord, because there's no resurrection. Got to be resurrection. Christ has completely annihilated death and hell by his resurrection. That's why we should be rejoicing. But if we don't concentrate on the resurrected Christ, where do we go? I remember reading something, it's just recalling to my mind, 15 years ago, where somebody was preaching the resurrection all the time, and they should have been, but they quit preaching the cross, and it got so out of balance. And, you know, and but most of us in our reforms, we preach the cross and we forget about the resurrection. Christ is risen. You believe it? Do you have it? Do you look to him? Are you waiting to look to see this resurrected Lord in glory? Oh, I can't wait to see him. And he's got the wounds in his hands and feet, too. So, that God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And he says, I speak this after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Just think, that's our old life. You went from iniquity to iniquity. One sin to the next sin. Sin upon sin. Because why? Before Christ, we're sin machines on automatic pilot. That's all we are. That's all we could produce until the resurrected Christ. And hallelujah, we're new creatures in Christ. Even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. I don't know any other way that holiness is going to be produced in us, because we know we ain't got it in ourselves. It has to come outside of us through Christ, through the power of his resurrection, by the power of the Holy Spirit who makes us holy. But, you know, now we're servants of righteousness unto holiness. So, hallelujah. So I desire holiness. Why? Because I desire Christ. My holiness. The resurrected Christ. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Philippians 3:10. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. So in our old life, all we have is sin. We have no righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And so given my testimony, when the Lord allows me, as I'm witnessing, especially the Catholics, and most Catholics I talk to, they never heard a former, most of them never heard a former Catholic testimony. I got free from guilt of sin, then the power of sin, and then the life in Christ. Most of them never heard it. And most of them that listen are kind of astonished, like, wow, you mean God did that for you? Yeah, and that's according to the Holy Scriptures. And then I asked the Catholic, do you believe he rose from the dead? And they'll say yes because they know something of the resurrection. And believe it means they just acknowledge it, not that they know it. They know about it, and they're saying, oh, yeah, I believe he's risen. Then is every sin paid for at the cross if he's risen? Man, it stops them. They have to think about that and say, that's a good question. So is he dying again, or is he risen? Well, he's risen. Then how much sin is paid for? Oh, I guess for all sin. Oh, you guess. But when you quit guessing and you know it, then the Spirit has given it to you. This is not a guessing game. When the Spirit works, you know it. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. He made one sacrifice for sin forever. So, hallelujah. That's to my poor lost Catholics. And I pray Lord gives me a right heart toward them, because I'm a former Catholic. And when I got first saved, I was against the whole system. I was mean with them all. I had not the love of Christ abounding in me. And then I start praying for them all. Lord, this is the wrong attitude. Give me your love, Christ. And when he gave me the love for the Roman Catholics, I can warn them lovingly that, look, if there is no purgatory, there is no in-between to pay for your sins. The blood of Christ has already paid for all sin. He is risen to die no more. If you don't know this Christ, you can't escape so great a punishment. And it's so great a salvation. And you're turning it down. You're going to keep trying to work at it. You're denying the resurrection, that all sin is paid for at the cross. And by the grace of God, I've seen quite a few Catholics converted too, because that's what God's put in me. And I'm burdened for them.
They keep the crucifix. They keep Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
So they have no clue he's risen.
Right. So that's a good point. Mark's making a good point that all their crosses have a crucifix. Christ still hanging on the cross. And he's not there anymore. He is risen.
Yeah, the one gentleman I was talking to tonight, he seems like I was talking for a long time.
Yeah.
It was funny because he was like a mix of like a Hebrew Israelite, but he wasn't like belligerent, and he had these other things mixed in with what he was saying. But at a certain point he said, well, you're saying then we're just slaves to sin. And I said, yeah, I know, it's a good conclusion. I don't know anybody say that. I was like, yeah, you're right. We are. I went through, Adam's sin a few times with him. And then he said, then you're saying we're just slaves to sin. I said, well, you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to Christ. That's one of the two. And in a good way, a slave to Christ, you know. But praise the Lord, that was a really interesting conversation, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and I had a few exciting talks tonight, and me and Mark, you know, been there a few thousand times, and we haven't died on the street yet. So, you know, come on out with us sometime. Pray about it. Don't you want to make this risen Christ known to somebody? Pray about it. Come on out with us. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest field.
And he said another thing, which really struck me. I said, thank you, but he didn't mean it as a compliment. He said, nothing you believe would be true if that Bible that you keep quoting isn't true. And I said,
wow.
I said, thank you.
The guy has thought things through.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He thinks.
Yeah, it's like crazy as the different theories he had. Like I said, he had a mixture of these like two different things. He had really thought it through, and
right.
A few times he had me stumped a little bit, and I was like, wow, this guy really thinks, you know? And most people don't.
Yeah, let's see.
Don't think too thoroughly. Praise the Lord. By the end of the conversation, I was telling Dad afterwards that at the beginning he was doing like 80 to 90% of the talking, and then about 10 minutes in, till about 15 minutes into the conversation, or maybe 20, because we talked for about a half hour. It was like 50-50. For the last 10 minutes, I did like 90% of the talking, and it was all gospel. And he was sitting there listening. So, paying no attention.
So, I didn't know how to answer this one, Mark. As you were talking to him, I'm talking to the guy on the motorcycle, and he got off the motorcycle, and he started talking to me, and Jim looked over and says, Bob, how come you get all these strange cases, you know? I said, I think I'm just attracted to them, or they're attracted to me. And but anyway, he kept saying, no, big dog got me. He says, he saved me. I said, well, who's this big dog? He says, he's the controller and ruler of all things, sovereign. He runs all things. He's got everything under control. And he's calling him big dog. I said, well, the Bible calls him God, you know. He says, yeah, big dog, you know. And I didn't know how to correct him, Mark. I thought, well, if I correct him too bad, I might offend him too bad, you know.
Right.
And I never heard anybody refer to that.
He just flipped the word, like the letter.
Yeah.
Yeah, because GLD is God, and then if you
D-O-G is dog, yeah.
I've heard the man upstairs, but I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say
he's dog. Yeah, man upstairs is a comment.
That is a slang, too, like, oh, things up.
Is it a slang?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a young people's slang.
Yeah.
Big dog, okay.
Okay, so we're back to producing fruit by the power of his resurrection. God's producing fruit for us. And he says something about the fruit now in verse 22, 6:22 Romans. But now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And there's another subject that's a hard subject to talk about is holiness. You know, because we all know we're not as holy as we should be, but the more we focus on Christ, we should be being changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. We're being changed, and that's God's fruit unto holiness. In the end, everlasting life. Hallelujah. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, up in Bible school, I used to have a guy. His name was Louis Rivers. I don't know if Mark remember Louis. And I'd take him out witnessing with me. I was kind of a friend to the friendless there. He had no friends. So he used to sleep in the car at night, too. And we couldn't fit him in our house. So and he'd say, Bob, all I got is one verse. I said, what's that? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he'd tell everybody that one verse. I says, that's good enough, Louie. Yeah, you ain't got nothing else. Just give them Romans 6:23, you know. And after I left Bible school, it happened to Louie. I lost contact with him.
I thought it sounded good, but okay.
Go ahead.
And, when you read 22, you have your fruit unto holiness. And I thought about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Mm-hmm. All those fruits are holiness. Peace, you know,
yeah.
Temperance.
We're all produced by the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's all holy.
That's good. Okay, so my concluding the teaching, nobody has anything else to say, is turn to Romans 14. In conclusion, Romans 14. Verse 7 to 9. It says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. So whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. And the last verse I want to close with is 14:17. It says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, it's been one of my favorite verses for the last 5 years at verse 17. You wonder what the kingdom of God is like. Well, there it is right there. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So there's, you know, the concluding of dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, rising with Christ. Remember, the gospel starts out with the death, burial, and resurrection, and then the sanctification continues with being dead with them, same cross, being risen with them, and alive in Christ forevermore.
I never thought of it that way. That's good. But it's to say death in the resurrection of death.
Go ahead, Mark. I was going to say, when you talked about our resurrection is spiritual, and that's emphasized in Ephesians 2, 4 and 7, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. It's verse 6 here. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So as he quickened our spirit and we've been resurrected spiritually
right.
with Christ, that our spirit is with God, with Christ up in heaven. We can't understand that because of our finiteness here, you know, of that. That's, you know, again, the assurance of resurrection. Our soul has been raised. And one other comment I had was in verse 14 of your lesson, it says about the about not sinning because
under the law, but you're under grace. Yeah.
Under grace. So in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it tells us here that, and he said unto me, this is Paul saying, the Holy Spirit, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ. So we're taught in your lesson of we have to live holy lives, and we say, how can we do that? You know, our sin. But up in verse 14, it talks about God has given us grace. And Paul, again, emphasized God's grace is sufficient that we will be able to live a holy life and a sanctified life.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's what I'm working on now. I think Sunday sermons, I'm going to steal the title from J.C. Rowell. Happy are the holy. So Jesus said in John 13:17, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting if you look at the connection between delighting yourself in Christ, and by delighting ourselves in Christ, we take on his humility, his service, and his it's amazing that's where happiness is found. Really in delighting in Christ, but that delighting in Christ produces the ability to obey and to do what he desires us to do. And that's where true happiness is found.
So here's a good resurrection scripture. Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Hallelujah. These promises are so great. And God is so faithful to his promises and his word. And he'll be faithful to the end too. I'm convinced he will be. Because I see him so faithful during the course of the life. And how about Colossians 3:1? If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So there it is, if you be risen with him.
One of the wonderful things is, you know, before we're saved, we live for this world. We live for, again, the world, like you were saying, the advertisement. You can't live without it. You've got to have it. And we strive either for our work. We want to make as much money. We want to do this. We want to have that house. We want to buy all those expensive things. And our focus
focus is all about us satisfying our flesh, satisfying our lust. And it's interesting when God saves us, we see that is not even important anymore.
Right.
You know, as you know, as long as I got a car that can get me from point A to B is fine. It does not have to be a Lexus. It does not have to be, you know, we it's something how God changes all of that. You know, he makes us content. And we see there's more important things than striving for this.
Amen.
Not only that, he gives you the car, and you're picking up people on this point. You pick up people on this point, and you have, it seems like you've got the joy of the Lord while you're doing it, you know?
Absolutely. I think about, I said, you know, the Lord's going to say, you know, hey, Mark, I blessed you with a car. How did you bless me with that? It would be a joy to be able to say, well, I took Mother Scott to her doctor's appointment. I picked this one up to church service. I did this. I did that. I opened up. Whatever you gave me, I was able to give back in your service. And that's going to be the joy, you know, of payback or to the Lord.
And we'll cast all the crowns at his feet anyway, Sam. Yeah. Lord, we couldn't do nothing without you.
And if he gives you that. People are gifted in different ways, and some people have a gift like you have to do things like that, and for hospitality and giving. Everybody's gifted in different ways. That's what makes the body the body.
Yeah. That's a wonderful thing. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit. You know, all of us get that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We
right.
all have the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
But he might give somebody a voice that they can sing. He gave somebody a brain that they can teach. He can give somebody that they are organized and they can do things, those sort of things. But the wonderful thing is we know the fruits of the Spirit, that's for every believer.
Amen.
Well, it says fruit there, Mark. Singular, you know. The fruit in the Spirit is love, peace, patience. So he's given us all the fruit because he's given us the Spirit. And hallelujah, Christ is risen. We can look to him and he produces this through us, in us. Oh, I didn't check with the crowd here at the on the phone. Any questions or comments? We went along without you. Sorry.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Sounds like
Nate. Oh, yeah. Hello, it's Nate. I have a question.
All right, Nate number one's here. Maybe he'll give you an answer. Go ahead.
Oh, what's up, Nate? But I was wondering, because you said when we sin, the blood goes to him. Something along those lines. And I'm just sitting here wondering, like, what does he mean by that?
Question.
Well, when we sin, I don't know how I said that the blood goes to him. No, I say we go to him, what I meant to say, to be cleansed in the blood. So once you're in the covenant under that blood covenant, the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin. He made one sacrifice for sin forever. And that's the good news, that the sin debt has been paid in full by Christ. So once you know that, then the whole, he's starting off with the Romans 6 and saying, well, if you know that and every sin's been paid for you, what's keeping you from sin? So go sin so that you get more grace and you glorify Christ more in his sacrifice. It's like, no, God forbid. You died with Christ. You're buried with Christ. You're risen with Christ. Now he's going to live in you to produce the fruit of the Spirit to live a holy, set apart life under God. And to benefit man, not self, like it was our whole life. So, yeah, I didn't mean to say, I'm sorry I said it that way or how I said it. I meant to tell you, like, no, you go to Christ, you thank him that his blood has cleansed you from all sin.
Even the ones we didn't commit yet?
Even the ones we didn't commit yet, I'll let Son Pastor Mark answer that. Mark?
Well, if you're born again, yeah. If you come to Christ, then all of your sins are forgiven, past, present, future. If, You know, so it's not for everybody. It is available for everybody if they want to come to Christ, if they can come to Christ, but you'd have to be born again, and then that applies to, then we're forgiven because of the blood of Christ, past, present, future, all sin. That's the glory of the gospel, really, right? It's complete in Christ.
God doesn't save you and then give the salvation back because you committed another sin. And we see that with his servants like David. He says, you know, David was kind of like the apple of his eye, but David committed murder. He committed so many sins, but he's been restored.
Amen.
Okay, thank you.
You hear that name about David in the Old Testament and how he committed adultery and killed his, husband, had him murdered, and then the prophet came to him and says, David, you're the man that did this. And David was like so mad when he was telling him the story, like, David, what do you think of this guy? He has 300 sheep and the other guy has one sheep, and the guy with the 300 comes and he takes the one sheep. And he has the wife's husband killed. David says, "Who is this person? We gotta kill him." And the prophet looks at David and said, "David, you're the man." And you know, and then David wrote Psalm 51, and it's a great psalm. How God just wouldn't charge David's sin to him because David had faith that the Messiah would come in God's timing, and he would put an end to sin. So David believed in the Messiah to come, who would pay for all sin. Now we believe in the Messiah who already came and has paid for all sin. So you think you come to that place, Nate, where Christ has put that in your heart yet?
I mean, I'm still trying to understand everything.
Okay, good. Keep reading the Bible.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I'm thanking the Lord. He saved a wretch like me one day, gave me faith.
One of the teachings of the last verse of your study tonight, where it says the wages of sin is death. One of the teachings that friends of mine that are witnesses, the Jehovah Witnesses, they look at that and they say, well, when I die, I paid that wage, so there's going to be no more punishment. Because it says the wage of sin is death, and my death will fulfill that. So that's where they believe in annihilation and there's no punishment. They take that verse and say, as a sinner, I paid the debt to God. Because he says the wage of sin is death, and my death paid it, we're done.
Their death.
Yeah,
and
their physical death. Yeah.
Wow.
It meets that.
Based on that verse.
Wow.
Romans 6:23.
And that's what.
But then they're annihilated.
Yeah.
In their system.
Yeah. It's no punishment. There's no hell.
Right.
Because they paid their debt. Right? They paid their sin with that debt from that verse.
Wow. How they twist that one, huh?
Yeah, I have an aunt and an uncle in the family, witnesses, and they hate to see me come.
I wonder why.
It's just a battle.
So I hope everybody remembers on Saturday we'll be here in Upper Darby at the Upper Darby Festival, which we'll be there from... if you want to come early, we're going to be setting up at like 9:30. If you go right down from where 234 Long Lane is and you go down to Five Points Coffee, they have the street shut off. They have a big stage right there at the Five Points where all five of those roads come together. That's why it's called Five Points Coffee. Right in front of the municipal building, they have a stage set up there. And then the street is closed from that point down to Market Street. Or Westchester Pike, wherever it changes right there. And then, so then all the tents and, booths are set up right there. And so we'll be along there somewhere.
There's like a big parking lot right there where the trolley is.
Yeah, there's a parking lot across the street there.
Okay.
And then,
where the tents are going to be.
If you walk down
on the street.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're on the street. They have a street closed, yeah.
9:30.
9:30 is when we'll be setting up. So if somebody can help us set up, yeah, that'd be good. And then the event doesn't actually start till noon, but people start showing up at like 11. They want us there. They want the vendors there as close to 9 o'clock as possible. So 9:30 is fine, though. I mean, we've done it other years, so I think it won't take us but 45 minutes, maybe an hour to set up everything. So we'll be ready by 10:30. People start showing up around 11, even though it doesn't officially start till 12. And then, because they have presentations on the stage that start at 12. Hopefully, we'll be a little further from the stage this time because it's loud. They have like music and dancers and stuff. But we could but pray for that. And yeah, and come by the booth. And so the Bible study on Saturday, I think we'll do it like last year. I don't know how well it worked out, but we did for the Bible study from 1 to 2 o'clock, which is the Bible study time. We'll just have the, I'll put the phone on the Facebook Live at the booth, and I'll have the also the conference call at the booth, and we'll do like last year. I kind of interviewed people and talked to people and kind of give you a taste of what we're doing there, and we'll see how that goes. It's kind of a unique way to do a Bible study. It's not technically a Bible study, but it'll. That's what we're going to be doing on Saturday. Yeah, we can call it evangelism training there. Yeah.
And it's going to be nice weather on Saturday. 70 degrees and sunshine. Wow.
Nice. Yeah, not too hot.
You're going to get a lot of people.
Yeah. And if you just want to come down and sit in the booth, you can just sit in the booth, and people usually come up to the booth and take a track or a Bible.
You can talk to people.
Yeah,
me and the shell talk to quite a few people to sit there.
Right, so even people that can't, that may not be physically well enough to, like, walk around, you can come, yeah, and sit in the booth. And there's people, you know, exactly, that come up to the tent. We have a canopy that we set up that's, like 12 by 15 or something.
12 by 12,
and that's our space, and so we have a little table in front, and then chairs, and so you can just talk to people as they come up to the tent, and we have 40 English Bibles, 30 Spanish full Bibles, and 100 small little New Testaments, endless amounts of tracts. We just got a new shipment of Chapel Library this week, and so. And there's other brothers coming to help us from other churches. One guy's bringing a bunch of New Testaments in Hindi, Bengali, and Punjabi.
Did we ever get the Spanish ones?
We got the 30 Spanish full Bibles.
What about New Testaments? No.
I don't think we have any Spanish New Testaments, but I think the 30 full Bibles would be good. And so we're going to thank the Lord. Please come if you can help. And Joe, what are you thinking? You can make it? Oh, I put you on the spot in front of everybody. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I was going to call you.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Yeah. Okay, good. Glad you're coming because I put you on the spot.
Is your whole family coming? They were there last year.
Yeah, Annie is coming. And the children are coming too. Maybe not Emily. She might also come. I think that Thomas Daniel, he said his wife has COVID, so I don't know if he's going to come. Thomas from the St. Thomas Church.
Oh, interesting, because I talked, she must have just got it, because I talked to him on Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah, she just got it, so he's hesitant about coming, because he must also have problems.
I'll call him tomorrow, because I know he's the one with the Punjab and but you know, I still have some of those from last year that he gave us. But it would be nice to have him in the venue. But I'll have to call him tomorrow because I know he's been really excited about something. We must have talked 3 or 4 times about him coming to the.
Yeah.
That's sad if he can't. But I'll give him a call tomorrow. And then Mark Grasso and Karen, some people from their group will come over and help us too. So,
they didn't get a booth of their own.
I don't think they do now. Yeah, and Dennis was going to come too, but did Dennis? Yeah, Dennis's wife has COVID right now. Dennis and Dan Barr, you know those. But anyways.
Anyway, want to close in prayer?
Yeah, why don't we close in prayer? So just remember that for Saturday. You can still tune in on Saturday because I'm going to still hook up the audio and video, but it'll be definitely a little different than a normal study. So let's pray. Father in heaven, oh, holy God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this great truth in Romans 6 that we're dead with Christ, and yet alive with Christ. The gospel doesn't stop at justification, but the gospel goes into our sanctification. If we partake of the gospel, not just something objective, but it's something subjective that we partake of. What glorious truth that we are dead with Christ and raised with Christ, and that resurrection is not only now, but it is eternal, that we will be raised unto new life forever and ever because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. May this be our hope, Lord God. Please work in each heart tonight, Lord God. Send us forth and just excited that we're risen in Christ and it's eternal. The second resurrection is because of his resurrection. Oh, Lord, give us this hope and expectation. We might glorify our Lord Jesus. Do bless the event on Saturday, God. Draw many people to labor. Draw many that need the gospel, Lord. Work in that time. Use us, Lord God, that Christ be lifted up here in Upper Darby. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.